morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be preaching on the battles we face, sin in the camp. I'm going to start with the scripture in Romans 24, the 8th chapter of Romans, 24th verse through the 27th. And when I go forward with this word this morning, I want to start with this here. What God is revealing to me and have been revealing to me is this. A lot of people ask themselves, why should I care if someone is sinning? We ask ourselves, why should we care if someone among us is sinning? Or why should we care if people don't want to change their lives? The message today is talking about understanding why we need to care about changing our life. And why it's important to be responsible enough spiritually to be accountable to the things of God. It's not enough to come into the house of God weekly, yearly, and for many generations and not know why you're living the way you're living. It's so easy for us to just take on something because it's something that we learn to do because it's a religious ritual. We become so accustomed to doing something, but we're not in a place, or we don't know that we're just doing it because our parents did it. We're just doing it because I was told to do it. But this word this morning is talking about understanding why it's important not only that you want to make heaven your home, but it's important to know that the whole community is under attack when one person that is supposed to be in the front lines is not doing the right thing. When you look at an army and you see the army train, they make sure that they step together and that they're marching to one beat. They're teaching them to learn how to move together, and they're teaching them to learn that detail matters. Amen. Come on, somebody. To learn that the little details matter. So I'm going to start in this chapter. It says, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? It says here, but in the 25th verse, it said, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for what it with perseverance. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. What it was saying in this passage was and is that when you believe on something you already see, you're not going to be eagerly waiting for it because you already have it. But when you have hope in which you know that you don't see it yet, but yet the Lord has told you that he's going to take care of it, guess what? You wait eagerly. You wait excitedly because you say, I don't see it. I don't know how I'm going to get it. But guess what? I know it's going to come because God told me. Now, I'm going to talk about this hope that is not seen, and I'm going to talk about how it works with dealing with sin in the camp. It's so easy for us to quote scripture saying that man should not live by bread alone or talk about the faith of God. But what if you're ready to go into battle and there's something you don't see yet, but you hope that you come out victoriously? Now you're going to deal with the situation differently because guess why? Because you know that your life is on the line. When you already see the victory, you don't have to hope. But when you're going into battle, we have to have this understanding is that, listen, our hope is the trust that we have in God. That whatever you're going into or whatever you're going through, you're going to come out victorious because your hope and trust is in the Lord. Just like the testimony this morning was talking about how he heard a simple word, but God is saying he wants us to do what he wants us to believe in him. So the next verse, it says, now he who searches his heart. All right, let's go. I missed my place, but let's go to 26. It says, likewise, the spirit also helps in our weakness. Now, you see that? It says the spirit helps in our weakness. There's a lot of people that are called a pastor or cry before God and said, Lord, why can't I overcome? Well, the Bible says the spirit helps in our weakness. Amen. And for we do not know what we should pray for what we ought. But the spirit himself make intercession for us with groaning and which cannot be uttered. It with words that cannot be uttered. What this scripture is talking about is the spirit is speaking in your behalf. Some people think it's out of place to speak in tongues or pray in tongues. Don't you know that the spirit is uttering words that you don't know? Here, the spirit is talking to the Lord and telling him what you need and when you need it. So we're going to talk about going into battle this morning and why it's important to know that we have the Lord and the Spirit of God leading us. I ask you that there is nothing so damaging and nothing so hurtful as when a person, especially a Christian, is living in sin. We are going to see what happens to the nation of Israel as a result of one man's disobedience. As a result of one man's disobedience. I'm going to talk about Moses and how he died, and Joshua was handed the task of leading the people to the land of Canaan. It says here that Moses now had died, and Joshua had taken over, and it was his task now to lead the nation of Israel over into Jordan, into the land of Canaan. It was Joshua's job after Moses died to lead the people. That was his task. And his job was to figure out how can I get them from point A to point Z and get them to the promise of God. How many of us are going through things in our life and we've been told by God that he's going to bless you? And you say, I don't know why I'm going through so much. I don't know why it's not easier. Well, the children of Israel, when Joshua took over for Moses, he had to line up with the will of God in order to get to promise. And after he got the promise, there was all kind of stuff he still had to deal with. And what God is saying this morning is, to get the promise doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But it's still important that you try to live a life that represents the will of God, because everybody's life is on the line. We do this. We take on our own personal relationship with God. But don't you know that as a body, we're to move in one accord? Because everybody that's in the body needs to be protected by one another. If you don't desire to protect one another, you don't belong in the body of Christ. So let's go on to this passage right now, 1 minute. And right here in the land of Canaan, as you know, it was like this. It was a picture of Christian life and all the battles we will face as soon as we entered in. So as we get ready to go into the promise, there's a battle that we all are going to be facing. And soon as they came into the Canaan land, they were instantly faced with three battles. Someone say with me, three battles. Three battles. They were faced with three battles right when they made it to the land of Canaan. Now, that's hard because for us, we think that, okay, God bless us, now it's all going to be good. It's all going to be hunky-dory. Everyone's going to move out of the way and let you have what you want. and let you march on into glory. But this is what happened to the people of Israel. Let's go ahead. We're going to read this little passage. Go ahead, First Lady.
Battle of Jericho. Jericho, as you know, is a picture of the world. And God told the children of Israel they were not to take anything out of Jericho as they went into fight. But they wouldn't listen to God, and they sinned in taking the accursed thing.
Now, right here, it says here that Jericho was a picture of the world. In the Battle of Jericho, how many of us know the Battle of Jericho, how they marched around the walls? Remember when they were marching around the walls? They were told to go and march around the walls, and then they're going to end up winning the spoils. But don't you know there was another part of the story? That God had given them a little instruction and told them what not to do before they went into Jericho. So what they did is they marched and they took over the city and they won Jericho. But what they did, the scripture says that God had told them not to take anything. That was a curse. So God told them, he said, listen, I don't want you to go in and take stuff. I want you to go in and conquer these people. And what they did is because of one man's sin, it jeopardized all of Israel. One man's sin, God said, when you go in, I don't want you to take their stuff because it's not blessed. Their stuff is cursed. What we do, this is where we come back to our own lives. What we do is we say, well, God, doesn't matter if you do this. It doesn't really matter if I don't really seek the Lord. I could just be saved. But the Bible says to serve the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. That means that we got to get our understanding out of the way. You see what I'm saying? Now, the one sin of going into battle and overcoming the enemy, the sin wasn't defeating the enemy. The sin was what they took home with them. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise. I know I wore you out this morning. The problem was, is just going in and taking something. I'm just going to take this lamp. It's a beautiful lamp. They went in, they said, oh yeah, I'm going to take this here. It's beautiful. But God said, go in and take nothing. Now, that's hard to do. How many of you been somewhere, especially at work? You know people at work. Them pins show up at your house. But think about it in this text. It's so easy to do something that seems like it's not a big deal. How many of us do that? We do things because we say to ourselves that it's not a big deal. And God is saying that he wants us all to realize that it is a big deal because he's trying to keep you in his will. He's trying to continue to line you up with his promise. You will not be lined up with his promise if you don't follow the instructions of God. And the instructions of God is to do his will. Amen. See, so in that first passage, it says, as soon as they came into Canaan land, they were instantly faced with three battles. So the first battle was, as they went into Jericho, and God had told them, listen, do not take anything. It said, do not take anything out of Jericho as they went into fight, but they wasn't listening. And that's the key word, they wasn't listening. We don't listen because we want to be religious. We don't listen because we want to think that we know it all. But what God is saying is that we got to listen because there's an instruction that God has given. Yes. Now the next battle, go ahead and read number two.
The Battle of Alus. Underestimated their enemy. Alus is a picture of the flesh. If you study chapter 7, you will find that the children of Israel underestimated their enemy. They told Joshua, Let's only send a small band of 3,000 against the people of Alice.
Now, right here, this battle was a small battle, but see, listen, this is how it went. Joshua was going into this battle, and what the people began to say, let's only send a few band of men, 3,000 men against the people of Allah. So what they did is they said, we don't need that many people. So they were small, and we can easily destroy them. That's what the people of Israel said. These people are small, and we can easily destroy them. It's no big deal. That's what we do. It's no big deal. But the children of Israel are the ones who got defeated, and they lost 36 people that died as a result of their confidence in their own power and strength. So the number two battle was when they went in, they said, let's just only take 3,000 because these guys are weak. So they said to themselves, we can easily defeat them. But what happened was they thought that they can do it in their own strength. So instead of believing what God was telling them, they shot their generals. They said, listen, we don't need to worry about this. Matter of fact, we don't even need to ask God. How many of us do that? I got this. I can deal with it. We put ourselves in a situation because we say, I'm strong spiritually. I was dealing with some of the kids earlier, and I was saying to them, I said, listen, we all got to know that what happened to Samson was this. He knew that he was a son of God. He knew that he was gifted with mighty powers. But if you know the story of Samson, what he did was he kept playing around with what? The enemy. Because he knew that when he wake up or when he shook himself, all of a sudden the glory of God would overtake him, and then he had unhuman strength. And what God is saying to each and every one of us is that we think that we have supernatural strength when we're out of the will. We think that when we go into battle, we don't have to worry about what we did the night before. We feel like that, oh, I can do what I want to do, and when I come into the house of God, I'm going to still be victorious in all my things, in all my ways. But God is saying, even though the people of Israel made it to the promise, they had three major battles. One was dealing with listening and obeying. Number two was not going in being thinking that you already had everything you needed. And we as children of God, it's easy for us to say that, oh, listen, I'm saved, sanctified. How many times we do that? I'm saved and sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. Fire baptized. Dunked in the water 3 or 4 times. I got this, Lord. And that's what we do. We take on that spirit, and we say, well, I've been born again. I've been saved for 25 years. I've been saved for 30 years, and I know the Lord for myself. But the funny thing is, if you tell them something simple, they're like, well, I didn't hear from the Lord on that. God didn't tell me. But God was telling the people that one sin, one problem caused everyone to suffer. So let's go on to the last battle, then I'm going to let you go. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead to the
battle
next.
Battle against the Gibeonites. This battle, however, was not a battle of flesh and blood. This was a spiritual battle of deception. You see, God had told Joshua to wipe out all the inhabitants in the land.
Now see, this battle, God had told Joshua to do what? Wipe out what?
All the inhabitants in the land.
All the inhabitants of the land. So totally wipe it out. Go ahead, finish.
Not because God wasn't a merciful God. God simply knew that the people in the land were paganistic and would soon have the whole nation of Israel worshiping the same false gods.
See, so they were paganistic. Now, I wanted to go here as I get ready to wrap up is this. Is that This wasn't a battle about who was stronger. It was about what? Spiritual things. And God had told him that this people's stuff, if you go into this land and you do not wipe them all out, they're going to come in and they're going to corrupt your people. And the Bible says it's not that God wasn't a merciful God, but this case, God said that everybody got to go. As I get to ready to wrap it up, I want us all to understand is that God, even though the children of Israel knew the plan of God, if you're familiar with the word of God, you know that the children of Israel was in the desert how long? 40 years. Now, the older generation didn't make it in. Now, the next generation was Joshua, and it was their time to get there. And remember, God told them, I'm going to send you to a land full of milk and honey. And I know how it is because we know how it is with church. We have a church picnic, and we're going to Canobie Lake Park. And everybody's excited. We're going to go to Canobie Lake Park. It's going to be fun. When we get there, it's going to be exciting. How many of you was all excited to go to a park for the church or some event? Are you excited? And then on your way there, it starts to rain. At first, everyone's in the bus singing song. Hey, yeah, we used to count bottles, you know. We used to sing that song. What was it? I forget the name of the song, but we would sing all these songs, and we have a fun time with each other in a trip. And then all of a sudden, you get there, and it starts raining, and everybody gets quiet. Like, man, we ought to go home. You know, even to the point where some people that will follow you turn around. They were like, we just might as well go home. We're not going. We're changing on the bus. There was a trip that we went on, and it was Canobie Lake. I believe it was Whalen Park or Canobie Lake. And when we got there, it was raining. I'll tell you the truth. Us black people, we don't play. If we on a trip, we going to do that trip. So us kids were like, we didn't care. We were like, we're going. We're going. So we went on the rides. Everyone was starting to leave. And literally, about 15 minutes into it, the sun came out. And the ones that stayed were the ones that were blessed. And then they were able to inherit the promise because they stayed even though they'd seen something. They didn't believe in that which they seen. And where God is going with this message is to teach us that the little things count, church. I'm going to end with this, and I use it a lot. Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. We're not wrestling against one another. We're not wrestling against other denominations. We're wrestling against rulers and powers of darkness. Like this morning when we went outside to pray, we were praying outside on the corner because we're fighting against darkness. Some of us said, well, Pastor, it was no big deal. We went out there and prayed. Big deal. Don't you know that the atmosphere of the city is corrupt with sin? But what God is doing, he's sending another voice in the atmosphere to fight against the elements. See, somebody say, praise God. And see, when we went out into this battle, see, we went out this morning, some of you didn't know that you had to have your war clothes on. Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and against powers and rulers of darkness. That means spirits everywhere we go. Everywhere your children are going, they're fighting against a dark spirit. And God is saying to each and every one of us, the little things matter. The little things matter. And when we think that what we're doing doesn't matter, You don't know that you're cursing your family. You're cursing your children. You're cursing your generation after generation because the little things matter. When we went outside, God said, if my people that are called by my name would what? Simply humble themselves and pray. Then he would heal the land. God is saying the battle has already begun, church. And when we go forward in this battle, he's saying don't take the things that the world is doing. For the Bible says that God says that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So those that you keep on saying to us, or keep on saying to yourself, I don't need to change. Well, it's just me. No, we're going to battle as one people. And we're coming against one spirit. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's the spirit of the enemy. And we all got to be in one accord. Somebody say it with me, one accord. See, and when you're in one accord, don't you know this? That the enemy doesn't have any power over you anymore. And I want you to get this in your spirit. Even though they won the battle, they still had to follow the rules of God. So those that want to fly by themselves and be individual Christians, you don't understand that you can't be an individual in an army. You have to work together because on every turn and every corner, there's an enemy ready to stab you. And if you and I are not in a place spiritually where we have counted each and every duck in our life, we are going to be overtaken by the enemy because we think that we're strong and mighty in battle. Just like this other verse where it began to say how they went in and conquered the land, but they thought that they said, we already won this battle, so the next battle we already know we got it. And this is what we do. We say, you know what? They just got a few of them. Sound like what we do even with some of the habits we take on in our life. We say, I'm just going to have one smoke. Just going to smoke that marijuana once. I'm going to just sleep around once. But what God is saying is that you have to see and understand that that one sin is keeping you from the promise. That one little thing is holding up your blessing. And that one thing could possibly kill the rest of us. And so what God is saying this morning is that when we're going forward to fight in the city against drug and addiction, that there's spirits in the atmosphere. And we must be ready to fight. Amen. You ready to fight? Amen. Somebody ready to fight? And I know that you're wrestling against things right now. You're wrestling against spirits in high places. But I want to let you know that it says we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers. And that word rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I say to you here, you heard me say it time again. When you get saved, that's when the battle begins. That ought to encourage us all to walk as close as we can to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the minute we say we stray away from Christ, the devil will be somewhere lurking in the shadows, ready to attack. And the last scripture for today is 1 Corinthians 15. It says, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. But Paul was saying in the scripture, I die daily. So he was saying, I'm not with you just protesting in excitement of joy. But if you die daily to your flesh, he says, I die daily. So us that been born again and accept the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, why aren't we dying daily? We're standing on our religion rather than our relationship. And some of us don't even know that we're religious. We think we know Jesus, but we're just religious. When you die daily, that means you give up yourself. You give up the sacrifice. And you say, Lord, I want to be pleasing in your sight. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to end with Isaiah 41:10. Let us all stand. Now, when they went into battle, and they had these three battles, there's one thing that we need to know. When you get your blessing, like the brother testified this morning, he received his blessing. But we also must understand that we must hold on to the blessings. So it says here, fear not, for I am with you. This is what God said. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Amen. This is the promise that God made. I will hold you. And I will strengthen you. And I will not leave you. But he says, we must first be willing to die daily. And that one thing, and we all have to confess, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have things that we have to constantly be working with. There's no one that was able to stand and fill the gap that Jesus had to fill. There was no one that could pay the price that Jesus had paid. So that already eliminates everyone here today. So we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what he's saying is this. Before you go in a battle, before you move forward in the things of God, stop and listen. And follow the instructions that God has given to the team. Praise God, and thank you to my listening audience. We want to say thank you for listening to Revival Today, our podcast. I'm Pastor Mark Choate from New England Pentecostal House of Praise. We're located at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Service time starts at 10 a.m. So come experience the mighty movement of God. He is moving in today's generation. So I ask that you come and experience to see what God is doing. We pray to see you very soon. Bless you and have a nice day.